This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move farther into the prophet Zephaniah with The Great Day, Seek the Lord, Oracles Against the Nations, More Judgment, and Conversion of the Nations. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Open my lips,
and I shall sing your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Is God with his angels and saints.
Thank you.
us is God with his angels and saints.
A reading from Hebrews chapter 11. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our reading comes at the end of chapter 11, the great chapter on faith. Chapter 11 starts with a definition of faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The definition doesn't tell us everything there is to say about faith. It focuses on the things hoped for. So faith is looking for a future fulfillment of God's promises. And it speaks of things not seen. Faith does not look simply to the things of this world and make statements about the things of this world. It makes statements about God. Now, both of these two aspects of faith lead to two forms of Christian affliction or trial. The first is you're waiting for things hoped for. And you're waiting. And you keep on waiting. And then the thought creeps in, is it ever coming? Will there be a fulfillment of the promises God has given? Then Christians start doubting. They're tempted to give up. They give up hope in the fulfillment. The second affliction or trial of Christians is connected with this definition, that they start to doubt the things unseen. That their conviction of these things unseen wavers and might even go away. The author of Hebrews knows about these trials. In chapter 10 it says, "Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." And so at the end, in our reading, we have a list of people who lived by faith, who did not throw away their confidence. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah are mentioned first. These are from the time of the judges in Israel, before there was a king. Then comes David and Solomon, David either as the greatest of kings or also as a prophet. Samuel the prophet, other prophets, especially Daniel, not mentioned but implied, with the story of fire that did not burn him, and lions whose mouth was stopped. Judges and kings conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, not by superiority of military material, but by faith. Why is this a comfort to the beleaguered, dispirited Christians to whom our letter is addressed? Because Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Solomon are not simply political leaders to be admired for their wisdom, political sagacity, and willingness to lead. They are men of God, sent by God, trusting in God's promise. walking in God's way. And that's why they defeated the enemies against odds. They are an example that God keeps his promises that he gave to them. So also Samuel and the prophets. They trusted in God's promise. They did what they're commanded to do, and God did not forsake them. The Christians believe in the same God who still keeps his promises. So when they look back at the saints of the Old Testament, that strengthens them when they are in doubt. So far, that sounds like the story of faith is a story of success. You go from victory to victory. Lives are miraculously preserved, even life restored. The life of faith is good. But then, of course, our reading continues. There is the other aspect of the life of faith. Torture, mocking, flogging, chains, imprisonment, being stoned, sawn in two, killed by the sword. That doesn't sound so much like a story of victory. So which is the life of faith? Is it life or is it death for the believer? Is it being preserved from death? Or is it being handed over to death? And of course, it is both. The life of faith is not, as some of the preachers of prosperity gospel preach, a life of health and wealth. And if you're miserable, that's your fault. You need to get more faith. Neither is that true. Well, if you don't get killed, then you're not a real Christian. Christians are led on different ways and different paths. The judges, kings, and prophets serve the people of the Old Covenant, and their example shows that God sustains his people through the times. Israel did not go under. Or, as the Augsburg Confession puts it, it teaches us that at all times there must be and remain one holy Christian church. God will keep his church and save it from its enemies. And he will raise up in his church preachers and leaders for his church. On the other hand, we also know that God can lead his people through times of persecution, that God even can lead his people on the path of martyrdom. Now, the instinct of self-preservation is one of the strongest we have. And actually, there is nothing inherently wrong with it. That instinct of self-preservation that keeps us from recklessly risking our lives. It helps us to readjust our lives when the doctor tells you that you need to really do something, or otherwise in 2 years you're dead. But that instinct of self-preservation is not the highest good. Preserving our life takes a second rank when the price for it would mean denying God and falling away from faith. Now, for non-Christians, this looks at best as some kind of misdirected heroism that might elicit grudging respect for the strength of conviction. Or worse, it might be seen as some form of fanaticism or simply stupidity. And it would be fanatic and stupid to risk one's life, to even endure death, and not save one's life. It would be stupid if there was no God, if his promises were empty, and this life were all that there is. But since God is faithful and true to his promises, faith is worth risking one's life. But who has the strength There are those people who have the strength to sacrifice their life, suffer for their convictions, purely from their natural powers. But here we are not talking about natural powers. We are not looking at the few heroes we admire. We're talking about people like you and me. People who, when they look at death, well, their first reaction is not, yes, go for it, it's go away. I want to be safe. I don't want to walk around and live in caves. I don't want to wear sheepskin. You're probably rather looking at brocade chasubles than sheepskins right now. This chapter 11 is not a manual how to increase your willpower, how to overcome cowardice, and finally be that better you you always wanted to be. It is through faith that the saints of old bore suffering and death. Their fear of death, of pain, was overcome by faith, not by moral strength. And so also for the Christian, which Hebrews is addressing, and also to us. It's by faith that we walk our way, not by our inherent strength. If God leads you unto ways of suffering and death, then it's through faith that you will walk this path, trusting in God's promises. And that means it is God Himself who sustains Christians on their way and gives them the strength to endure suffering and even death. Christians don't rely on their own strength, not when they get faith, not by their own reason or strength, nor that they keep their faith. They rely on God, who sustained the saints of old and who sustains the saints now. Christians know that they do not have the inner resources to overcome trials of doubt, fatigue, fear. But God has the resources. In faith, Christians cry to God. In faith, they receive strength from His promises in word and sacrament. And in faith, they do not shrink back and are not destroyed, but persevere and live with God forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Everlasting Father, source of every blessing, mercifully direct and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may complete the works you have prepared for us to do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Lord, who has given us your word for a light to shine upon our path, grant us so to meditate upon that word and to follow its teaching and find in it the light that shines in Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.